Well, I guess I'm going to have to tell the story. That's the way to go. Adam Schuster's going to have to set through it. Adam is with the Illinois Policy Institute. Adam, it's good to have you again on the air. How you doing, pal?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on.
So last week, and I think it's Tuesday, Wednesday last week, I get a note from the Illinois Policy Institute, and somebody there on the staff has listened to the J.B. Pritzker interview, which we conducted 1 week ago today in this same time slot. And it was a real brief note. And it said, Tom, we just listened to the J.B. Pritzker interview talking about property tax relief. You can't give property tax relief until you deal with pensions. And in the note, it said, municipalities in Jackson County pay 98 cents for every dollar to the pension. And I believe the policeman's pension, it's 99 cents for every dollar. And my first impression, Adam, was, well, I really can't say my first impression out loud, but I'll distill it down, prove it, because I was shocked by that number, and so were other people that I shared it with. 98 cents for every dollar goes to pensions for municipalities in Jackson County?
That's right. So first of all, I would encourage all of your listeners, if they're really interested in this, there's a illinoispolicy.org. We have a full report on it that breaks down all the numbers in detail. But that's right. In Jackson County, 98 cents of every municipal dollar collected for fire departments in 2016 went to pay for pensions, not services. For police departments, like you said, is 99 cents of every municipal police dollar. And, you know, some of that is because the counties may have picked up services. It's hard to know without, you know, looking into which governments are still there. But either way, what it means is that you're paying for a service that you're not receiving. And this is something we're seeing around the state, that the money going to pensions is crowding out current services.
All right. Now, that dollar, Adam, I want to talk about that. Which dollar are we talking about? If I get my property tax bill from Jackson County, it's broken up into categories for each unit of government and what their assessment is. Right. And so the money that is in your property taxes that says fire, 98 cents of that dollar goes to pensions. Is that accurate?
98 cents of, so on your bill for the municipality you live in, and this is an average across the county, so it, you know, could change depending on what the municipality is, of the property tax dollars levied by the, you know, the city, for example, of the money that's levied for fire protection services, 98% of it's going to pensions.
Okay. I think that's very hard for some people to believe. You understand that, don't you, Adam?
I do. And, you know, I'll say again, you know, it might be that they've switched to a volunteer fire force. It might be that, you know, a municipality might not have a police force anymore because the county's picking it up through the sheriff. But, you know, so it's not that every 98 cents of every dollar in property taxes you're paying has gone there. But it's that you're paying for a government most likely that doesn't exist anymore or that isn't providing you very many services anymore. And you're still paying for it in the way of pensions. The other way to look at it would be new property tax dollars. So, you know, from the study breaks down the rise in property taxes in Illinois from 1996, where we were about the national average, to 2016, where we're now the second highest in the nation. And over that time period, over 50% of every new property tax dollar went to pensions or debt service. In other words, you're paying more money. Your property taxes are rising, not to pay for your current services, but to pay for yesterday's government in the form of pensions.
All right, we talked about Jackson County, and whenever I was setting this interview up, I was asking, can you supply numbers for other counties here in the listening area? What else do you have on this list and the percentage points here?
Sure. So Williamson County, it's 93 cents of every dollar for fire and 96 for police. Perry, it's 92 for fire, 95 for police. Franklin's doing a little bit better. They're 74 cents for fire departments, which is still extremely high, and 93 for police departments. You know, I can keep going if you want. I got a couple more. Just Union County, 70 cents of every dollar for fire, 96 cents of every dollar for police. And then for Randolph County, we couldn't find good data for fire departments, but we found 42 cents of every municipal police department dollar went to pensions. So Randolph would be the lowest.
And this is a trend. This has been happening over a period of time. It's interesting, on your website, the Illinois Policy Institute, employee contribution as a percentage of the total of pension in 1998, it was 47%, and in 2007, 47%, and then 21% in 2013, while the taxpayer portion of that percentage-wise went to 79% from 53, and at 2045, this is this 2045 thing that really, which is the ultimate concrete wall for us to run into in the state of Illinois, it's projected to be employee contribution at 17%, taxpayer contribution at 83%, but you have to look at this as it's almost the entire budget for the state of Illinois. I mean, when you pay, we're talking about $17 billion out of $21 billion in total contributions. Huge amount of the state budget would have to go to propping up the pensions.
That's right. And it's the state budget, but it's also all these local budgets. So, you know, you've probably heard about Harvey, Illinois. It's a South Chicago suburb. Because they couldn't make their full pension payment, they had money that was supposed to go to them from the state intercepted, and as a result, they had to lay off nearly half of their current police and fire force, nearly 40 people laid off, in order to make their pension payments. So there's reasons it happens sooner in Harvey than in the rest of Illinois. They had an especially corrupt, especially mismanaged government. They've got, you know, some poor socioeconomic factors. But really, Harvey is a warning sign for the rest of the state. In what's coming, and that's that, you know, in order to pay these pensions, it's going to take probably both massive tax hikes and massive service cuts in order to pay for, again, government that people aren't seeing the value of. And I really appreciate the point you brought up about employee contributions, because there's a misconception out there that people, you know, that this works something like a 401k, that people are putting aside money throughout their career working for the city or throughout their career working for the state and then just getting that back. But most people get the money they paid into the system back in the first year or two, and then they can receive, you know, $1 million, $2.5 million over the course of their retirement.
Well, and I think what that is perspective. When you're inside and you're looking at your paycheck and the money that's taken out, that's a unique perspective to you, and you go, well, it's being invested and being taken care of, and we can't really say that. Because I didn't realize this until speaking with Brad Cole, the president of the Illinois Municipal League, that there are some 653 entities managing these departments across, and there's a lot of redundancy in getting that done. He also mentioned that several pieces of legislation have been introduced to try to help. They've all been locked up in committee. We're going to be speaking with the Brad Cole later this week on this very subject. But, you know, what we're looking at here is we're looking at a doomsday financial scenario, aren't we?
That's right. And, you know, like you said, there's over 650 entities that are managing this. We hear a lot about the pension debt at the state level. That's only five systems of the over 650 systems that you mentioned. Many municipalities have their own local police and fire pension fund. For the city governments, they all pay into IMRF, the Illinois Municipal Retirement Fund. But, you know, for example, in Carbondale, they have less than 50 cents on the dollar for the current promises they've made, which equates to about $40 million in debt just for the city of Carbondale for their police and fire pension funds. In Murfreesboro, it's almost $9 million, and it's right about 50% funding ratio. So those are the ones that aren't receiving a lot of attention from press, from politicians. I do want to make a caveat, though, because when we talk about pensions, people get very touchy. The point here is not to demonize the state or local workers who are receiving these. They're taking the deal they were offered. The problem is the politicians who set up a pension system they knew was unsustainable, that's more expensive than taxpayers can afford, and then they mismanaged that system. So if you're a state worker or you're a local government worker listening right now, what I would say is you should be on board with this, because politicians have done a terrible job of guaranteeing your retirement security, and that's not who you want to entrust.
It's interesting because Wall Street Journal, one of the articles that they didn't put up behind their new paywall, and I was reading about this and talking about some of the other states and locations. And one, I think it was Kentucky, saying that their pension was only funded, I believe, to 13%. And when you start looking at this, this is not just an Illinois issue, but we are definitely the poster child.
That's right. So there are two states that have worse funding ratios in Illinois. That's Kentucky and New Jersey. But the best way to look at pension debt is as a percentage of the state's GDP, so as a percentage of the state's economy. And that's the same way that, you know, if you go to a bank to get a loan, they might look at your debt-to-income ratio. It's essentially the same concept. It's, can you repay these debts? And when you look at pension debt as a percentage of GDP, Illinois actually has the worst pension liabilities, unfunded pension liabilities in the nation.
Now, the reason why this came up, and I want to reiterate this, is because people talk about property tax relief. And we all want it because basically in Illinois, you buy your home twice and you keep making payments even after you've bought it because we've got to pay these pension debts, and that's where it comes from, is property taxes. There has to be a solution, because if 2045 comes around and we haven't done anything, it's basically our pension payment's going to be the entire state budget as it stands today in the neighborhood of $38 billion, right?
That's right. At the entire state budget and many local governments are going to be facing the same financial pressures that led to mass layoffs in Harvey. And when people see tax hikes for lower services, they leave. We already have 4 years of straight population loss in Illinois, and people aren't going to be willing to stick around and pay more taxes for less in government services. So what we need to do is we need a constitutional amendment that protects the pension benefits people have already earned, while allowing changes to the future growth in those benefits. And a lot of people misunderstand this because they think that, well, that doesn't do anything about the current debt. It does, because the way they calculate the pension liabilities is the future cost of promises under the formula, right? So if your pension grows at 3% compounded every year versus if it grows at just a simple rate to inflation, that actually reduces our debt. So if we can, you know, protect what people have already earned, if you're retired and receiving a check, if you're a current worker, whatever your annuity is, we can tell you that money won't go down. The only thing we'll do is maybe, you know, change retirement ages for younger workers, change the rate at which your pension increases after retirement. And if we do that, we can actually make a huge dent in these pension debts to the effect of property tax relief. And anybody who's talking about property tax relief without pension reform is selling you a bill of goods.
And I wonder about this when it gets to it here, because where you said our back up the wall is going, because some people are suggesting that we should borrow, I believe it was around $6 billion to do some front-end payments on the amount of pension debt we have, because if we don't, there'll be a balloon payment at the end that'll kill us.
Yeah, so borrowing to pay off liabilities is a very bad idea. The state of Illinois tried to do that in the mid-2000s, and then again just after the recession. Both Governors Blagojevich and Governors Quinn did pension obligation bonds, where that's essentially the idea. They sell it as, we're going to make larger upfront payments now, and we're going to win on the interest, so it'll save money in the long run. That very rarely works out, and it's also a really bad deal for taxpayers, because they're trading a type of debt that can be modified for a type of debt that can't be modified. So it's sticking them with the bill.
Yeah. Well, when it comes
I would say reform, true structural reform that changes the cost of the pensions to make sure that they're in line with what taxpayers can afford to pay, that's the path out of this.
And what I'm hearing here is the way I digest this is be careful if you're believing something that's being told to you as a campaign promise in dealing with pensions.
Absolutely. Politicians love to kick the can on pensions because by the time the bill comes due, they're probably not going to be in office anymore. So if you think about somebody running for governor, if they're there for 8, even 12 years, the chances that they're going to be the person who finally gets stuck with the bill are pretty low. So what they want to do is they want to tell you, hey, I'm going to fix the pension problem. I'm going to lower your taxes. They're going to make you all the promises they can. But at the end of the day, you're going to get stuck with a larger bill if they kick the can on this issue. The earliest we can get a constitutional amendment would be 2020 now at this point, where we could get that on the ballot. And then right after that, we need to start changing the formula for the increases in the pensions.
Is there administrative costs here that are cost prohibitive that are exacerbating this problem? How much of that administrative costs and redundant administrative costs are contributing to this issue?
Well, that's a huge part of it. When you're trying to diagnose why our property taxes are so high in Illinois, there's essentially two reasons. We have too much local government, and that local government is too expensive. So at nearly 7,000 units of local government, we have the most in the nation. We also have about 852 school districts, and our the number of students served per school district is very low. And this is not schools, the officials, the principals, the teachers that parents and kids actually interact with. It's just an administrative layer on top of that, with each one serving few schools and few students, especially in more rural areas. So if you want to look for efficiencies, we can do that by cutting down on the amount of administration we have and trying to make sure more of the money actually gets to the classroom. And there, another example would be township government that overlaps with municipalities. Another example would be, you know, the number of special districts we have, whether it's mosquito abatement districts or something else, that are services that don't really need their own taxing authority, could probably be done by the county or by the city or even contracted out for.
But just briefly, before I let Adam Schuster go from the Illinois Policy Institute, just run some of these figures. If you're just joining us this morning, imagine now 98 cents of every tax dollar you pay on your property taxes that is going to the fire department in Jackson County Municipal is 98 cents is spent on the pension, 2 cents on services. Accurate?
That's right. For municipal property tax dollars in 2016, which is the most recent data we've got.
And share with me some of the other surrounding counties for people that are just tuning in.
Sure. So Jackson, 98 for fire. For police, it's 99 cents of every municipal dollar that's going to pensions, not services. For Williamson County, it's 93 cents of every dollar for fire, 96 for police. In Perry County, it's 92 for fire and 95 for police. In Franklin, it's 74 for fire and 93 for police. And in Union, it's 77 for fire, 96 for police. And then for Randolph County, we only have numbers for police. They're doing a little bit better. It's only 42%.
42.
Which is still very high.
Yeah. All right. And if you want to learn more, good place to go, Adam?
IllinoisPolicy.org. We've got a report right at the top of the page for you.